Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Flip, flop, flat top. Here he goes again. The National Republican Senatorial Committee just giving this response. What did we tell you about yesterday? So on Wednesday, Liberal Senator John Tester did an event with his liberal celebrity buddies, some YouTube guy. I guess this guy's a YouTube celebrity. I couldn't even tell you who he is. And then, of course, the radical leftist Pearl Jam guys. So John Tester was slobbing around with the celebrities in Missoula, downtown Missoula, on Wednesday. Doesn't have time to come see you. Doesn't have time to go to your town. Doesn't have time to take any tough questions. Even if he had time to take tough questions, he never gets any tough questions from the Montana media. But he was there with all of his liberal buddies, and he must not have known that there was media in the room, because he told them that actually his race for United States Senate, where he is facing a very strong challenge by Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, he said his race actually isn't the most important race. He said the most important race is electing Kamala Harris as the president of the United States. So that's basically what he said with his liberal buddies at this celebrity event in downtown Missoula at the Wilma. Then later in the day, his campaign had to start backtracking. Oh, well, no, he wasn't endorsing Kamala. Well, now he is really flip-flopped once again, according to the National Republican Senatorial Committee. After telling voters that his race doesn't matter and that it is more important to elect Kamala Harris, John Tester is backtracking, saying he won't endorse a candidate for president in 2024. Tester's flip-flop comes as polls continue to show him trailing Navy SEAL Tim Sheehy. NRSC spokeswoman Maggie Aboud says, quote, "This embarrassing backtrack is the latest in a series of flip-flops from a desperate, two-faced politician who lies to voters as easily as he breathes. John Tester votes with Kamala Harris 100% of the time, but doesn't have the courage to defend that record, so he is lying to voters about who he supports for president instead." Speaking of Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, I think he's going to be in studio with us later this hour of the show for a few minutes. And then coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show, we got a great guest who's going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. He's the CEO of an organization called Million Voices, and he's got about a million connections back here in Montana. He's been to Montana several times over the years, but he's got some new technology that's going to be placed into your hands here very soon, if it's not already available, that's going to be a very important tool for you to have heading into the November election. So that's what's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Quick break here on Montana Talks. We got another great guest in studio with us right after this. So stand by, and then maybe around 8:20 or so, if you want to call back, after our 8:20 break, we'll have time to open up the phone lines for anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Plus, we'll have the legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation.
Securing America.
The USS Abraham Lincoln has arrived in the Middle East, joining the USS Teddy Roosevelt there as the U.S. increases its force posture in the region, which Pentagon Deputy Press Secretary Sabrina Singh says is
designed to improve U.S. force protection, increase support for the defense of Israel, and to ensure the United States is prepared to respond to a various range of contingencies.
And yes, Singh admits, threats issued by Iran have factored into the moves the Defense Department has made.
We've moved capabilities into the region that I think it's fair to say have gotten into the headspace of Iran, and will influence their calculation on how and if they choose to respond.
Singh adds that increased military action is not what the Pentagon wants in the region.
We don't want to see that happen, but we have two carrier strike groups there, each, you know, with four destroyers. That sends a very powerful message of deterrence.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
We cover so many topics. We cover so much ground, especially when it comes to the important issues of the day, that I'll get a lot of people that'll say, well, Aaron, what can I do about it? What can we do about it? Especially in a big election year like 2024. I'll tell you what, if that's you, you have got to tune in to Friday's Montana Talks. We're going to have an incredible guest. John Graves is the CEO of Million Voices. He was on with Glenn Beck a while ago, but he's got some Montana connections. So stand by for Friday's Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So you guys might have seen this story on our Montana Talks website earlier in the week. Billings and Kalispell teams and hospitals unite to stop the stigma. I said two teams, two towns and two hospitals, but really it's more than two hospitals here. Two teams, two towns, two hospitals coming together to stop the stigma and to support suicide prevention efforts here in Montana. Yeah, coming up on Tuesday, August 27th, the Glacier Range Riders play the Billings Mustangs in Kalispell at that beautiful baseball stadium I've told you about here. And so Billings Clinic and Logan Health are teaming up along with the Billings Mustangs and the Glacier Range Riders to stop the stigma and to support suicide prevention efforts. So that's going to be a really cool, cool deal at a really cool ball field in Kalispell on Tuesday. But speaking of Billings Clinic, we've got Jim Duncan in the house with us here, 30 years as the head of the Billings Clinic Foundation. And Jim, man, you've got the big Billings Clinic Classic taking place this weekend. I was there last year. We had an incredible time at the event last year, so it should be a ton of fun this year as well.
We're looking forward to it. We have it's all sold out. If people still are interested in going, we are getting a few tickets turned back, so we have a waiting list. But Saturday night down at Henry's Garage, which is an incredible venue, we're very fortunate to be back there. We have a really great band coming back, Alter Ego. They play for like two solid hours without taking a break, and they play great hits from the 70s through today. And it's all for a great cause. And in the past, we have focused a couple of times on mental health with the Classic and helped start the residency, helped raise awareness for mental health. Billings Clinic has a long, decades-long commitment to serving the mental health care needs of our community. Early on, when we first did it, people weren't as engaged in trying to raise that awareness. That has changed. The community, the surrounding communities all realize how important this is. And so the causes of the Classics over all these years have touched from cancer to heart to mental health to back to pediatrics, many others as well. So we're going to be redoing our pediatric space downtown at our campus. We see a lot of complex care patients with big wheelchairs and other special needs. So we're going to make bigger doorways and automatic exam tables. That's what we're raising money for tomorrow night. We have a phenomenal pediatric program, lots of different specialties that we do, including things like cystic fibrosis, where our department chair, Dr. Jerry Leisinger, who's been a chair of the Classic before, he helps take that care out to the rural communities. Part of our Billings Clinic Logan Health System is a real focus on rural health care. So across Montana, northern Wyoming, we're really doing everything we can to try to sustain rural health care and keep as many services available here in this rural part of America.
I know in your 30 years at Billings Clinic Foundation, you went from raising about $3 million to what, $150 million over those 30 years. One of the recent achievements was this Level 1 Trauma Center. And last week, I read the numbers. Half of counties across America don't even have cardio docs in their counties. And then how few also have access to Level 1 trauma care. It's shocking how bad those numbers are. That's why it was a big achievement to bring that Level 1 trauma care here to Montana.
That's right. You know, we raised about $32 million. That's what we're finishing up for that campaign for trauma, complex care, a variety of things. ECMO, which is you know, a very life-saving piece of technology and programmatic offering that we have with really talented clinicians leading that. We really believe in trying to keep people here as much as we can. We can't do everything in a town of this size, but the community is really wanting their families to be able to get care locally. And so that's great. On those numbers for the foundation, that's what we're trying to grow for assets endowment. So that's grown to the $150 million. Then over that time, we've also given back for various projects about $125 million. If you think about the great healthcare organizations around the country, the Mayo Clinics, the Cleveland Clinics, they have huge endowments that people have given to that help sustain them through tough times and helps them do advancements in their missions for healthcare education research. And so I just can't say enough thank you to the communities who and the people, the donors, who have stepped up and given their hard-earned dollars to help us do more.
Yeah. How big is the, after the merger of Billings Clinic and Logan Health, you know, taking all the Billings clinic footprint with clinics and hospitals across the state and region, and then merging with Logan Health in the, you know, the Golden Triangle, North Central into Northwest Montana, Kalispell, et cetera. How big is that Billings Clinic, Logan Health footprint right now?
So if you start up in Northwest Montana with Logan Health, their main campuses are in Kalispell, Whitefish, then they have Cutbank, Shelby, Chester, Conrad, other areas. And then we kind of touch our geographic regions, but there's still a big section through kind of central Montana that's served by other organizations as well. And then we kind of pick up from, we've got, you know, Lewistown, Townsend, all over Northeast Montana, into Livingston, Red Lodge, Columbus, and then into northern Wyoming. Glendive is also in there, Scobie, Plentywood. So it really does stretch from kind of we're working with Riverton, Wyoming, north, and then all of Montana.
Yeah, it's pretty much matches our footprint on the radio, which is crazy because we push down into northern Wyoming with KBUL and then all the way up into northwest Montana with KJJR. Getting a chance to chat with all those fine folks right now. I don't know if you guys heard, big news on the personal front for Jim Duncan as well. I didn't even bring that up yet. Jim, stand by if you can. I'll come back to you after the break, and then we'll get to the legislative update from the Family Foundation right after that.
You can plan barbecues and weddings. You can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
Well, Jim Duncan's been a big figure especially in the Billings, Montana area, but really for the state of Montana. And when it comes to healthcare in the state of Montana, been a prominent figure for much of those three decades that he's been serving as the head of the Billings Clinic Foundation, as the president of the Billings Clinic Foundation. But Jim, yeah, this just, what did this news come out yesterday? You're going to be retiring here in about a year or so. So congratulations. That's a big change there.
It is. It's been a great run and I love the organization. And so by July 1st, that will be kind of the wind down. So over these next 10 months, I'll be working on transition and succession planning. We've got great teams and good people to work with. You know some of them, and so that'll be interesting. It's bittersweet. It's hard to say it's time to move to that next chapter, and I've been calling it a dimmer switch. I'm ready for that. But I love this community. I grew up in Eastern Montana, so this is home for me. It's not going to change. I'll still continue to do whatever I can to help support Montana and the region.
So with the Billings Clinic, Logan Health merger, do individual hospitals have their own foundations, or will there be kind of a foundation overseeing the whole system? How is that going to work from a kind of a fundraising side, I guess?
Sure. Yeah, every organization has their own efforts around philanthropy and fundraising. And, you know, over time, maybe there will be some things where we can combine our efforts and go for kind of a larger grant or a larger opportunity, which I think is part of the scale we're looking for. We when the two organizations came together about a year ago now, the goal was to get that scale, elevate things as best we can, unite, and try to stay locally governed. We like that the people that are running these organizations, you know, live and work and have their lives here. And so that's been a key focus of it. And so, you know, across the nation, healthcare has had some headwinds. It's been challenging for us. But I think trying to work together to see where we can combine things and be better to serve, that's what we're after.
Yeah, makes sense. But also, yeah, that importance of people. Hey, if I'm in Kalispell, man, I want to make sure that my money's going to my hospital in Kalispell. Right. And so, yeah, the recognition of that is important. Well, Dr. Clint Seeger, who is the Billings Clinic CEO and then the co-CEO of the Billings Clinic Logan Health Unified Health System, said, quote, Jim Duncan has been a tireless advocate for Billings Clinic, for progress in healthcare, and for communities across Montana and Wyoming. Over the last several decades, he's made a genuine difference at Billings Clinic that will benefit everyone who comes through our doors for years to come. He's done that by keeping what truly matters, our patients and people, at the heart of everything he does. I'm grateful for everything Jim has done and wish him the best in his upcoming and very well-earned retirement. Jim Duncan, again, congrats. Have a great time at the Billings Clinic Classic. I wish I could be there again, but I'll be up in Havre having a great time up there at the Fusion Fights. But again, congratulations and thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right. Great to see you. Hey, we do have the phone lines open for you. I know Lee and Kalispell called in a little bit earlier wanting to weigh in on the Democrat National Convention coverage. Lee, call in right now and we'll get to you first up, potentially right after this legislative update from Jeff Lasloffy and the Montana Family Foundation. This airs on various radio stations across Montana, so some of you may have heard this earlier this morning. But Jeff Lasloffy has a big update on some of these ballot measures that have now been approved and will be on your ballot for this November election.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Lasloffy.
This week marked a milestone in the Montana election calendar as we passed the deadline for the Secretary of State to decide which ballot measures would be certified and approved for the ballot and which would fail. In all, seven measures were approved for signature gathering, and of those, three garnered enough signatures to appear on the November ballot. Those were CI 126, 127, and 128. All of which would significantly change the culture of Montana. And the big difference between those that gathered enough signatures and those that did not is the fact that those that were approved were dreamt up, drafted, and paid for with out-of-state money. CI 128 is a perfect example. Millions of out-of-state dollars flowed into Montana, which were then used to pay for roughly 150 out-of-state signature gatherers, making $35 an hour. They fanned out across the state like a biblical plague of locusts and eventually turned in 117,000 signatures, far more than the 60,000 necessary to get the initiative on the ballot. Unfortunately, quantity does not necessarily equate to quality, and roughly half of the signatures were thrown out as invalid. Of the 117,000 originally turned in, only 65,000 were declared valid. And this is after the Montana Supreme Court put its thumb on the scale and changed the definition of a qualified elector to ensure that more signatures qualified. Our most recent polling shows that most voters have no idea what this initiative really does and would not vote for it if they did. They have no idea that it allows late-term abortions up to the moment of birth on the recommendation of any so-called healthcare professional. The term healthcare professional does not necessarily mean a doctor. As worded in the initiative, it means anyone who simply works in the healthcare industry in any capacity. The ballot measure also allows minors to get surgical abortions without their parents' knowledge or consent. This opens the door for an abuser to take his victim for an abortion without her parents ever knowing. The bottom line is that this amendment allows for no parents, no doctors, and no limits on abortion. It's simply a constitutionally guaranteed revenue generator for Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers. The two remaining ballot measures were sponsored by liberal out-of-state groups to change the way that we do elections in the hopes of electing more Democrats. CI 126 does away with party-affiliated primaries and instead replaces them with a wide-open top-four primary system, a system that allows a candidate from one party to sneak through after three candidates from another party divide up a majority of the votes. In Montana's case, where the vast majority of candidates are Republican, you could have a scenario where two Republicans and a Libertarian divide 65% of the votes, and a Democrat wins the general election with only 35% of the vote. It's a terrible idea that began making the rounds a few cycles ago. Alaska voters fell for it, and it's been such a disaster that they're now trying to go back to their old system. CI 127 would require that most state elections be won by a majority of the vote. A great idea on its face, but it was only introduced to soften the negative potential of CI 126. There's always the chance that CI 126 would pass and 127 would fail, in which case we'd be in the same boat as Alaska. CI 126 and 128 are far too radical for Montana, and we hope that the voters are smart enough to see the truth.
All right, great update there by Jeff Lasloff with the Montana Family Foundation. Yeah, I read the language on that. Requiring a majority vote in elections, and it's very confusing language. It looks as though they're trying to open up the door for something else, if you just look at the language of it. At least that was my take. Lee in Kalispell on the phone lines. Lee, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Yes, it just deals with Hamas and Kamala Harris. She said they were working to free the hostages. Now, I could see where she might get a boost if the Hamas, just before the election, frees, say, the Americans and some of the Israelis. That might give her a boost in the elections.
Oh, so you think she's deliberately working with Hamas to try to manufacture...
Well, I don't know if she is working with Hamas, but Hamas would be in control of that.
Yeah, Hamas might see it in their interest to give Kamala a boost by doing something like that. That's an interesting angle.
Yeah, they don't want Trump.
I don't know if I have the audio at my fingertips here, but I thought that what she said about Israel and the Gaza Strip last night was absolutely shameful. Absolutely shameful. I mean, she was trying to do this both sides-ism thing where, oh, yeah, I support Israel, but... And it was like she totally glossed over the fact that these Hamas terrorists in the Gaza Strip are responsible for the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. And to somehow try to equate the two is just absolutely shameful. Lee, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Next up, we've got Bob in Bozeman. Bob, what's on your mind?
Well, you diverted me a little bit with that call because I'll just make a little quick statement.
Yeah, go for it.
If you live in Gaza, there are no non-Hamas supporters in Gaza. Therefore, you're not killing any innocent civilians. They are all in deceitful disguise to support Hamas. Otherwise, Hamas would not be there.
Well, and if there are any innocent people in Gaza that are being killed in this war that the Hamas terrorists started, it's because the Hamas terrorists are using them as human shields. So the Hamas terrorists are the ones that are slaughtering innocent people.
I'll agree. But I wanted to give you something that's very secretive also going on, and Tester's one of the big parts of it. And that is when he voted to bring in all those 350,000 illegals, just fly them throughout the country and not even come across the border. When you go to the grocery store and you see the inflation on prices, and you look at the line in the customer service for Western Union having money sent out of the country, the illegals are causing your inflation, because if they didn't buy the groceries paid for by the federal government, all the supply would be greater and the demand would lessen, and that's the definition of lessening inflation.
Yeah, that's right. And we keep hearing that more people is the reason why we have more environmental problems, yet the same environmental wackos are the ones bringing more people into our country illegally, more terrorists into the country. So what you're telling me, Bob, then is this, is that if housing prices are too high in, say, the Flathead Valley of Montana, what you're telling me then is that if John Tester flies a bunch of illegal aliens into the Flathead Valley of Montana, that it makes the already high housing prices even higher? Is that what you're telling us? Shocking. Absolutely shocking information, right? It's just common sense. It's just common sense, which is not common at all with this current administration. Bob, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
We cover so many topics. We cover so much ground, especially when it comes to the important issues of the day, that I'll get a lot of people that will say, well, Aaron, what can I do about it? What can we do about it? Especially in a big election year like 2024. I'll tell you what, if that's you, you've got to tune in to Friday's Montana Talks. We're going to have an incredible guest. John Graves is the CEO of Million Voices. He was on with Glenn Beck a while ago, but he's got some Montana connections. So stand by for Friday's Montana Talks.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Navy SEAL veteran and Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy in the house here in studio. Montana Talks. Tim, good to see you. Thanks for dropping in.
Always a great view from your studio here, and I love it.
It is. It's a great day heading into a great weekend. You got to be feeling good. I just saw another poll just came out. What was this? Rasmussen Reports or something came out. Here we go. Tim Sheehy, 50%. John Tester, 43%. Yeah, Rasmussen Reports. That is another post-Trump rally poll. The other one that I heard about, I think the nonstop local TV stations did a poll that had you widening your lead there. I think that one was a six-point lead. But you got to be feeling good about the polls. You never want to take them for granted, of course, right?
Yeah, I mean, we always got to run like we're 2 points behind, like any competitor, until we cross the finish line. I mean, we're not going to let up on the throttle. So just today, Harlotton yesterday, all over Billings last night. Today, we'll be up at St. Mary's Siphon Project today in Malta, and then going to Belgrade to the Gallatin International Speedway tonight to see some folks at the racetrack and shake their hands and meet some folks there. So making the rounds. But yeah, it's clear our message is resonating. You know, we're running a grassroots campaign. We're not running a basement campaign and buying $200 million of live-filled TV ads that nobody listens to anyways. We are traveling all over the state, all 56 counties. We've been to many of these communities. You know, we've been to Glasgow, I think, six times now. We're going to Malta now for our third visit. And just going everywhere. And most importantly, listening to people. Not just talking, but listening. Shaking their hand, looking them in the eye and saying, what are your concerns? What does your family need? What do you want to see? What do you want to see the future of this country look like? And I think that's resonating because in a state like Montana with, you know, million people, 600,000 or so voters, people talk to each other and they don't believe what they see on the TV or on YouTube, but they will listen to somebody they trust. And I think all the hands we've shaken, all the town halls we've had, it's paying off.
Well, and I think too, I've told folks this before. A year ago, I know there were some folks that were skeptical. They were like, hey, I've never seen this guy involved politically. Yeah, he's not a political hack. I was like, but I got to know this guy through the veterans community. I knew fellow veterans that got a job working for you at Bridger Aerospace. And so I was like, man, this guy's the real deal. And I think more Montanans got to see that at the Trump rally. There were a lot of people that were at that rally in Bozeman that, yeah, they know Trump. They're all in on Trump, but they never got to see and hear you speak yet. And they're like, holy cow, this guy is impressive. And so I think that's what's happening is the more people actually get to see you, actually get to talk to you, actually get to know what you're all about, they're like, man, this guy is the real deal. Meanwhile, this fake, phony flip-flopper, John Tester, 2 days ago, he's at the Wilma with his liberal celebrity buddies, and he says, my race is actually not the most important one. The most important race, what he basically said, is electing Kamala Harris as president, but now he's backtracking and he's flip-flopping because he can't be honest with the people of Montana. What a phony.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's why he can't get out and do these grassroots events. That's why he's got to hide behind his $200 million Democrat wall of ads and let them do his speaking for him. I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not running name-calling slander ads like he is. I just don't believe in that because, frankly, I don't think that's becoming in the office. It's also just doesn't get things done. People want to hear about how you're going to fix these problems. And you're absolutely right. I mean, John Tester recruited Kamala Harris for the Senate when he ran the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee in 2015. He's responsible for her political rise. Got her into the system, got her elected Senate, and then, of course, has been a loyal foot soldier for the Biden-Harris-Waltz regime the entire time. Every piece of policy legislation that came through, he supported it. And now he wants to act like, of course, one hour he says it's so important we get her elected, but then refused to actually endorse her. So this is classic two-faced tester, you know, just wants to tell everyone what they want to hear and then wants to go vote in lockstep with the other side. And that's how he's survived for 30 years. He's an excellent chameleon at, you know, trying to basically say whatever the room wants to hear without any connection to his actions. And as you said, I've never run for anything before. Not student council, not city commission, not county commission, you know, whatever you... This is my first time running for anything because I see how important this 2024 election is for the future of our country. We have to take this country back. We have to bring common sense back to our government. And we have to have people in our government that actually want to solve these problems and put Americans first.
I'm pretty excited. You talked about heading to Malta today. I'm going to be in Havre tomorrow. I'm actually going to be in Big Sandy. Tomorrow afternoon.
There's a lot of Tim Sheehy signs in Big Sandy.
I've heard there's a lot of Tim Sheehy signs in Big Sandy. So, yeah, you've had some events. But we're going to be doing an event in Big Sandy where we're talking about Bidenomics and talking about how Joe Biden and John Tester have delivered this massive inflation. Kamala Harris had this massive inflation. And, yeah, they were very happy to welcome us to Big Sandy. But I think you've had a pretty good welcome to
Big
Sandy.
We had a fantastic event there in Big Sandy just a few months ago. I was up just in Big Sandy the other day at Rocky Boy Reservation as well for the powwow days. And, you know, we had the Mint there in Big Sandy packed, you know. And everyone there, they're like, hey, we're John Tester's neighbors, and we want him retired because it's about time we save this country. So even in a small town like that where you know, he's from, that they recognize that he's not working for them.
You know, it's funny. Kamala Harris, over 30 days now, refuses to do a press conference, even though the press will go easy on her, mm-hmm. right? John Tester finally popped up out of hiding for his celebrity buddies in Missoula, and he took some questions from a canned press conference down in south of Missoula, I think he was. He didn't get any tough questions. No. What questions would you have asked Liberal Senator John Tester if you were going to be there doing the job that these journalists, these fake news media folks in Montana are refusing to do?
Absolutely. Very simple. You say you've been fighting to secure the border. How come after 18 years it's wide open, you haven't fixed it? You say you fight for veterans. You chair the VA committee. Why do we have record high veteran suicides? Why is Montana the number one state for veteran suicides in the entire nation, John Tester, chair of the VA committee? You say you're going to fight against Biden's radical agenda. Then why have you voted for it every single time it's been on the ballot, John Tester? Why have you always voted for it? Why have you unequivocally been a rubber stamp for everything Biden and Harris have ever done? You say you're fighting against it. Why did you vote against Trump's judicial nominees when you knew that they were going to put America first and support our Constitution? Why did you kill the nomination for VA Secretary Ronnie Jackson, who actually wanted to fix the VA? Answer me those questions truthfully right here, because your record shows what you've done. Now I want your words to match your record. And watch him squiggle and you know, run out of the room faster than Navy SEAL, because when the tough questions are asked, that guy can move.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, yeah. He's a mover. We got a mover. Somebody's trying to squirt out here.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like you've probably been on an operation or two over in Iraq or Afghanistan. We got a squirter. We got to go.
Yeah, and for listeners, a squirter is when you're hitting a target, you know, a catch or kill target. And you know, when one of your potential targets or someone part of the enemy group on the target literally busts out the back of the compound or jumps out the window and starts squirting, which is running out the back away from the target so it doesn't get captured, that's what's called a squirter. And so
all I picture is your Navy SEAL teammate and fellow rancher Greg Putnam jumping on the back of John Tester as he's trying to run away from the tough questions and try to tackle him down to the ground. You know,
but you're right. You know, he's dodging the media, and he doesn't need to, because they're not even going to give him softballs. They'll give him T-balls. They'll put it on the tee and back away and let him warm up and hit it. You know, meanwhile, for us, they're throwing flaming arrows at us every day, which is great. Keep them coming, because we've been handling it for a year and a half. We're going to keep handling it. And guess what? The more they try to take us down, the higher we're going in the polls, because people recognize what's going on, which is John Tester has been lying to their face for 30 years in office. He's not solving their problems. And people do not like to be lied to. They don't like to be told that, hey, I'm going to do this for you, and then you do the opposite. They don't like that. They don't like to be told, hey, I'm putting veterans first, but I'm going to vote against veterans' choice health care. They don't like to be told, hey, I'm going to secure the border for you, and yet you vote time and again to open the border and then literally pay for migrant flights all over the country.
We had a caller ask a very good question. I want to get to that. Travis, make sure I don't forget to ask that one. Somebody just called in and asked Travis to relay a question for us here. But But before I get to that, you talk about, you know, the lying campaign commercials. And you're right. John Tester's been lying to Montanans for 30 years, playing this phony, fake game. Public lands, public access is one of the things he's really been lying about. I think one of the most powerful ads out there right now features Casey Walsh, the founder of Sims. On this topic, the founder of Sims, incredible company. In fact, my father-in-law just told me yesterday he finally got his hands on some Sims fishing waders that he's been wanting to buy for some time now. But Casey Walsh is not a partisan hack. I mean, I know over the years he's supported Democrats, he's supported Republicans.
He voted for Tester twice.
So yeah, he voted for Tester twice, but he's backing you. So I think that's a powerful voice countering this fake, phony BS that they're putting out on public lands.
Well, and Casey and I share a fence line, you know, with our ranch. So he sees how we care for our land. He sees how we're good stewards of our land. And he also knows that I literally put my life on the line to protect our public lands. Just Tuesday, Wednesday this week, I was out fighting fires in California because our pilots are crewed out. I'm a reserve pilot. So we were normally, you know, for our aircraft, we're protecting communities during an urban interface or we're helping fire crews. This particular mission was a national preservation. We were fighting to protect one of the oldest, most ancient sequoia groves in the nation, in Sequoia National Park, that was being burned. And our mission was to protect that grove, to preserve it for future generations. So Casey knows that I literally put my life on the line to protect our public lands. So, to criticize me and say I'm anti-public lands is pretty rich.
Has any national media or even local TV station said, hey, this is incredible, you're actually risking your life to fight fires in the middle of the most important Senate race in the country? Can we get video of you fighting these fires? Because this is an incredible TV story that they all apparently are refusing to tell. Anyway, we'll get the answer to that more after this.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
He co-sponsored this Medicare for All bill, universal health care bill, with Bernie Sanders in the U.S. Senate. And now her campaign says we don't know because she doesn't talk to anybody. And now they're saying, well, no, she doesn't support that anymore. He also called for an elimination of all private health insurance. Wow. We know that she has been bragging about Bidenomics. We know she lied about inflation, and it's only transitory. He was praising Bidenomics up until recently. I played that on TV last night. We played it on this radio show. Her own words and Tim Walz's own words are devastating to them if the American people only know about it. And this is now becoming a big problem.
The Sean Hannity Show, from coast to coast, later today.
You know, this is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? I didn't think so. I know I sure don't. This is Linda, and when I worry about the national debt, I turn to safe haven assets like gold and silver. And that's why we partnered with the highest rated gold company, Goldco. They have earned over 5,000 five-star reviews from tens of thousands of happy customers who diversified their savings with gold and silver. Today, Goldco is offering you up to 8 years in free IRA fees plus 8% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Call 855-815-GOLD for free IRA fees, bonus silver, free gold, and silver info kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver before it's too late. That's what I did. Call 855-815-GOLD, 855-815-GOLD. G-O-L-D. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Are you having .com? Nobody beats a Bob Smith deal. Nobody.
Hey, this is interesting. Do you guys know the song American Pie by Don McLean? I mean, it's a classic song, right? 1971 classic, American Pie. Well, Don McLean claims that his song American Pie predicted the, quote, woke BS culture. Don McLean claims that American Pie predicted the woke BS culture.
That's creativeplanning.com.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So Tim Sheehy, Navy SEAL veteran, Republican U.S. Senate candidate. I know we're short on time here as we wrap up the 8 o'clock hour, but safe to say that none of these local TV stations, 60 Minutes or the Today Show, They haven't even contacted your campaign to say, hey, this is incredible that the candidate in the most important U.S. Senate race in the country is still risking his life to defend our land and fight these fires. I mean, especially the incredible feat that these aerial fires, none of them have reached out, huh?
Well, why would they? It doesn't comport with their narrative. They want John Tester to win. And instead of, you know, these organizations have been attacking my business and my employees relentlessly for the past year, accusing us of being corrupt, a failed business, we're shady, this and that. And it's absolutely disgraceful. Listen, they can attack me all day long. I get it. That's what I signed up for. They can go after me and my family, which they have. I mean, we know that. But when they started to attack my employees and my company, it's really disgusting. And Montana should be disgusted. The real story about this race in Bridger Aerospace is not that I started a company. It's that our senior elected official in our state and his party and his media establishment have made it their business to assault and destroy a Montana company. Hundreds of Montana employees who risk their lives to protect us every day are being slandered and attacked by John Tester's campaign and his people because they just want to damage me. And it's really sad because these people literally, as you said just a few weeks ago, we lost a firefighting pilot, not from the Bridger team, but the industry lost one here in Montana. We've lost four this season already. It's a very dangerous job. And it's an important job because if you've got a fast-moving wildfire coming for your farm and ranch or your homestead, I mean, the first line of defense is the air response. We got to get out there, fly low, fly through the smoke, and protect your lands. And it's pretty sad they've chosen to attack that profession and our company. But it shows people aren't believing it because we're winning.
Yeah, that's right. I love what President Trump had to say about military service members kicked to the curb over these COVID BS mandates and all this other woke garbage. He'll rehire every service member, apologize to them, give them full back pay. He's going to, you know, get rid of any of these senior military brass who push these insulting woke initiatives and so much more. The caller, it was Robert from Belgrade. He had a question for you. Has John Tester ever said thank you for your service at all? Has he ever thanked you for your service?
No, of course not. I thanked him for his service in the debate. If you remember in my opening statement, I said, hey,
I remember that, yeah.
Senator Tester, we may not agree on everything, but thank you for your 30 years of service to the state and the country.
Not in the military, but in office.
Thank you for doing that. He never reciprocated and probably never will, and that's fine, whatever. I meant it when I said it. Listen, it is a sacrifice. I'm running for office. It's a sacrifice. But no, he wouldn't say that, and nor would any of his Democrat media friends, because, you know, they're more interested in the narrative than the truth.
Which is pathetic, because we've had Democrat candidates for office here in Montana who are fellow military veterans. And I remember Larry Gent, I think. Was it Larry Gent? Anyway, one of the Democrat candidates for Attorney General was a Green Beret military veteran, thanked him for his service, had a great time chatting with him. We can do that, but they can't do that. And that shows a disrespect, I think, for those who have served. Beth in Whitefish, did you have a quick question or comment? We're just about out of time.
Yeah, thank you. One of the criticisms of new politicians going to Washington is that they say they're going to do all this wonderful stuff, and then they get there and they basically are forced into business as usual and drink the Kool-Aid. And how will you maintain your political integrity when you get to Washington?
Well, that's a great question. We got about a minute to go in the show. Thank you, Beth.
Yeah, thanks, Beth. It is a great question, and it's also a great, not as a question, it's a great statement that we have to have leaders that will have the courage to continue to serve their people. Because just like a military officer overseas, your job is to protect your people, fight for your people, accomplish the mission, and fight for your people. Always having to put the interest of your people first. In this case of this race, you put the interest of the people of Montana and the betterment of the nation first. And, you know, career politicians oftentimes lose their way. They're there for 20, 30 years. They get bought by the lobbyist money. I've been successful. I don't need the money. I don't even want the job in the first place, to be honest, as far as I'd much rather be running my company. But this is an important race. The future of the country is at stake, and you can always count on me to do what's right for Montana and the nation.
Well, and when they attack your company, they're attacking his company because they purchased more firefighting aircraft. Mm-hmm. Not only a good business decision, but helping more people in the process.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A man in Myrtle Beach has helped solve a second cold case in just 6 months using a homemade sonar device made with a boogie board. Back in February, Jason Surrata's device found a car at the bottom of a North Carolina creek. It had three missing men inside, closing a 40-year-old cold case. Since then, the radiology technician has used his free time to scan bodies of water and conduct research on missing people from his area. He came across the name Daniel Riggs, who was last seen buying oil at a Food Lion in Myrtle Beach in 2015. Serrata teamed up with his friend, Adam Brown, a diver. They traced Riggs' cell phone pings to a landing dock put his device in the water, and found multiple vehicles right away, one of which was a Dodge Nitro the car Riggs was driving. They called police. Inside the Nitro, human remains confirmed to be Riggs by the Georgetown County Coroner's Office. Surratt and Brown both described the work they do as bittersweet. There's more on the story at FoxNews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.